Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50. And guys, today I really want to thank these guests. And if you will show your support as we welcome some guys that they are executive consultants, but they were part of an SC Dream Team. They're Pure Energy Award winners. They fast-tracked to SC, and they've also participated in Ambit Cares. Help me welcome to the show today, Mark and Christina Alfano. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you, Doug. It's a real honor to be on your show, and just want to thank you for what you're doing for the Ambit world and entrepreneurs and as a whole. You give a lot of hope to people in this radio show, so thank you for having us on.
Yeah, it's great to be on.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I know how busy you are, and you know we've been coordinating schedules since I guess Power Trip. And the reality is, I'm happy to do this. I look at it as a mentoring session for Doug Parker. And you know, whenever we started working on putting this show together, it was a pretty audacious ask to go out and get 50 people to spend basically an hour with me. But I as I processed through it and found a way to package it up. And nicely for others to enjoy. It's worked out so great. I get so much good feedback about the guests that are on the show and how you guys have given a different feedback. You know, there's some things that are consistent that everybody says, and there's some things that are unique and just kind of aha moments for folks. And so with that being said, if you're listening to this show right now, guys, make sure, if you're not driving down the road, that is, that you get a pen and paper out. Perfect practice makes perfect. So make sure that you are taking notes, writing this stuff down so that you can put it into action. And with that being said, guys, let's talk a little bit about what your why is. When you guys started the business, I know y'all were very successful, and Mark was a chef, and y'all had a tiramisu business and some of those things. But can you tell us a little bit about what life was like before Ambit? And then now kind of how you've transitioned through to executive and what your why was and is now.
Well, Doug, when we found Ambit, or Ambit was shown to us by another chef friend of ours, we had our tiramisu soup business, and we worked in three states. And we did everything. We did from delivery to making the product to selling the product, you name it. We did it all, washing dishes, everything. And we really weren't looking for anything else, but as a favor, we came to take a look at Ambit. And we had, for 13 years, my husband and I had been trying to have children, and with much prayer and continuing to hope for children. At that time, we did not have any, and we saw Ambit, and the next day, we found out we were going to be having a child. And the why is that we have been entrepreneurs most of our lives. We owned restaurants. We had lost a restaurant and closed that in 2009, so we rebuilt with the tiramisu company. And we thought an extra stream of income, when we first saw the business, was awesome. We couldn't wait. We're like, okay, an extra stream of income to pay a car payment, to get out of debt, whatever it took. And then when we found out we're having our son, he became our immediate why. It was a miracle, and two miracles in 1 week, seeing Ambit and finding out they were having our son coming soon.
Yeah, and I want to kind of touch on that a little bit, Doug. One thing you said when you opened was that perfect practice makes perfect. And when I was learning guitar one time, and my teacher said, practice makes permanent. And sometimes if you're practicing but the practice isn't right, that can be a detrimental effect to what you do. So you always want to make sure that as you're practicing the right way. And that's something that we've learned through years of business and being an entrepreneur. I wasn't a chef per se. I was a great chef, but I was always a business person. And my mom took a shot whenever I was 8 years old and kind of went against the odds and got involved in direct selling. and got involved in a product business and changed my life. So as an 8-year-old, I watched her retire my dad at 40 years old. They worked together in that business. They worked their way all the way to the very top. And, you know, as a result, I got to live a childhood that was unmatched. I mean, we traveled all over the world. You know, I got to go to national conventions and not just be a member. We sat with the president of the company and the owner of the company and, you know, watched my mom and dad speak at national conventions and win all the top awards. And, you know, while all of the neighbors were going off to work in the morning, they were sitting on their porch having coffee. And that really changed my way of thinking at 8. And so 12 years old, I wrote a book report on, you know, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And my teachers thought I was crazy. I don't think I'd ever heard any 12-year-old ever, you know, say that. And that was the path that we took. So we actually joined that company and we set out to do what my mom and dad had done. And I said, I don't want any leg up. I don't want any leads. I don't want anything. I actually went door to door to start. And I remember my first day I sold $22 in product and the guy who went with me actually quit the business that day. And I held out, and that December I think I sold $22,000 in that 1 month. And I saw the transition, and me and Christina worked our way to the top of that company. And we won big trips and we won national awards and we spoke at the annual convention. And I knew right then and there that I'd found my calling. But then the company went through changes and decided the direct selling wasn't the way that they wanted to stay and kind of cut the consultant out. And so as a default, I got into cooking. I said, you know, I need a product that I can control that nobody can mess with. And I became a chef and I thought that would be the best way to do things. And we opened our first Italian deli in 2003. We upgraded through, you know, some of our clients and we got into, you know, a fine dining restaurant by popular demand, and we thought we had it going. And in 2009, our world got rocked whenever the economy tanked, and you know we were losing more money than we were making, and we just realized that you know we had to shut that down and move on with our life, and that's kind of where the tiramisu came in. And I say all that to say that our why really is to never have to go through those times again. You know, every time we lost everything, which was twice for us, it really sets you back about 10 years. And you only have so many 10-year periods in your life. And what I realized was in both of those situations is I didn't have a safety net. And when you hit that wall or you know, you get to that point where you can't go any further in a business and there's nothing left, man, I wish I had a safety net. And that's really where Ambit, to me, was so enticing. I was like, wow, I can kind of go back to where we were in the beginning. But without a product, you know, I was had no 18-wheelers making deliveries to my house anymore, and also have that safety net to grow our tiramisu business, and that was really the main reason why we got started in Ambit.
Gotcha. So now one of the things that really stuck out to me there, and I just jotted it down, was that, you know, you've had a couple times in life where you've pretty much lost everything, and it's kind of like losing a 10-year part of your life. And when you're, I've heard this before, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so when you talk about having that extra little bit there for you, it makes a huge difference to have something else coming in so you don't lose it all. Because you, like you said, you only have so many like 10-year increments in your life, and obviously the first, you know, couple 10 years you're a kid, and then after that you're most of us were young and dumb for that 20s phase. But at some point when you get into your 40s or 50s or 60s, you want to be able to slow down a little bit. So that's a great thing to look at, is having kind of a plan B, even if your plan A is going okay right now. Having a plan B to look at and something that gives you something to fall back on hard times. The other day I was at church and the pastor said something to the effect of, and he was really relating it to marriage, but he was talking about how if your marriage hasn't gone through hard times yet, it's just a matter of time, because everybody goes through hard times. And whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your health, whether it's with your business, there are always ups and downs, and you've got to be prepared for that and plan for it, because it's going to happen on some level or another. Now, how long have you guys been with Ambit Energy?
This will be our fourth year, October 11th. It was 10-11 whenever we joined.
Okay.
So we're just a little bit over, almost to 4 years, just a couple months short.
Cool. So you guys made it to executive in maybe around, I know you fast-tracked to SC, so was it about two or three years whenever you got to
EC? Yeah, the number is it took us 2 months to get our first consultant, and then it was 6 days from the day he joined that we went regional. And then 2 months to, a little bit less than 2 months to senior, then 27 months to executive.
Whoa, that's pretty aggressive, guys, pretty aggressive. So now let's talk a little bit about whenever you're out in the community, you're out and about, you're doing what you do, and maybe you bump into somebody and they see that somehow or another you guys have a disproportionate amount of time. You're everywhere. You're at all the kid events, you know, whatever the case is, and they ask you, man, what is it that you guys do? Can you give me a little 15 to 20 second elevator pitch of what you tell folks?
What? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, I'll let Christina handle this one first, and then I'll chime in, so go ahead.
A lot of people know us as the restaurant people, the tiramisu people, and when they see us out and about, it is a surprise to them, Doug, because our life before Ambit and before we closed our tiramisu company was working 100-hour weeks, crazy. So to be with our son out playing at a park, like you said, and this is unusual, what are you doing now? What is going on with your life? You know what, I don't have a lot of time to tell you, but I'd love to get together with you over coffee. Maybe we can talk over the phone. I am so excited, but you know, I really got to go now. Or I really so involved. I cannot wait to share this with you. And just kind of let it go like that. And a lot of people see the difference in us physically, and as well as, you know, the time they used to, we were a lot of stress before, and now we have a lightened in heart and just have a lot of joy, and we just thank God for that as well.
Yeah, and I think that, Doug, that is literally the one of the most perplexing questions that I have to answer, is when people ask me, what do you do? And I've literally interviewed every top leader in Ambit. You know, when I'm with Steve Thompson or Ray Monty or Brian McClure or all of them, and I say, how do you answer that question? Because you never want to give away too much information. You know, it's, to me, it's kind of a dance of, you know, what do you say to people? I don't want to be too vague, but yet I don't want to be, I don't want to do a presentation in the middle of a golf course. And so basically, you know, there's every case is a different, is something different. You know, I mean, I've been in everything from being a coach to being in education to, you know, being retired at 40 to, helping people get free gas and electricity. You know, and when I had my tiramisu business, it was great because people would say, you know, what do you do for a living? And I say, well, I make tiramisu for a living and I have a part-time energy business. And then they would always say, what does that mean? And I'd say, well, it's an Italian cake. It's layered with cream and chocolate. And they say, no, not that, that other thing. And I saw all that. I help people get free gas and electric, and I get paid for it. And then it, I always turn it back around to them and say, so what do you do? And, you know, so it's always about kind of turning the tables or asking the question. And it was funny because I was out golfing on a, I think it was a Tuesday or Wednesday morning. It was me and my retired father, actually my brother's father-in-law who's retired, and my nephew who's 12, and this guy asked to join us, and the first question my brother's father-in-law said to this guy was, he said, hey Zach, he goes, why are you golfing on a Tuesday afternoon? You must be independently wealthy. And I thought that was a great kind of a lead in how he handled that. And this guy's like, no, I'm a roofer. And so the conversation just kind of got it started, and I asked him, I said, you know, Zach, I said, as a roofer, what do you do in the winter? Do you have any type of residual income? And he says, no, I don't. And I said, well, I work with a lot of roofers. I work with a lot of guys in HVAC and landscapers, and they're always looking for things to do in the wintertime, and am I able to help him with that? And then I didn't say another word. And I said, next time I'm in Columbus, because that's where he was from, I said, next time I'm in Columbus, Ohio, I said, let's get together and go golfing. And he said, great, here's my number. And that's really how I did it. And then he says, are you in sales? And I said, not really. And I said, we can talk about that another time. And I kind of just skirted around it. So to me, it's really become posturing. You know, I don't work the 100-hour weeks anymore. And it's really just kind of posturing. You know, when people look at you and they say, man, what is it that you've got? I just, you know, it's really a dance. Each one's different, and we've had a lot of success with that.
You know, I'm glad you clarified that, because it's, you know, sometimes you want to jump right into what you're doing, and guys, if you just heard that, having that dance down, you have to know who you're dealing with, and you have to practice these things. Otherwise, you'll do one or two things. You'll be coy, and you'll, you know, not tell them anything, and it doesn't pique their interest, and then, you know, then it's dead. Or you try to, right there in the moment, try to give them a full-blown presentation while it's really during the invitation stage, and it kind of train wrecks your ability to be effective. And so you've got to kind of go through that dance. And I liked, you know, how you mentioned a couple of other type of folks that you worked with, and then how you said, you know, hey, I work with a lot of these guys that have off seasons. Do you have anything, you know, that's residual income? And so that is really a good way to transition through that, to have that transitional statement. Now, you know, while we're talking about your success, I mean, you guys made it to executive very quickly, or relatively quickly, and you know, in the whole scheme of things, what would you say is one of your personal habits that's contributed most to your success?
I love the teachers in AMBIT, and it's persistent and consistent and never quitting. I mean, what we've been taught by our AMBIT leaders and our mentors in the business is really, in understanding what we have our hands on, it's a gold mine. It's a gift from God. It is something that if we stay focused and stay on track and never giving up and keep moving forward, the opportunities for us, not only financially, it has given us the time freedom, but it also has given us amazing relationships with people that I think we've never had this type of relationships with people in our lives, and we're so grateful for AMBIT with that. But it is just pressing in and going forward and never giving up.
And I'd say for me, it comes a lot from my cooking background. I worked at a restaurant in California called the French Laundry, and it's probably one of the best restaurants in the country. And all over the walls, they had this sign that said sense of urgency. And you always had to have this sense of urgency in everything that you did. You know, there was never any, you know, slacking off or leaning or resting or anything like that. And so that really is, you know, something that we keep in the front of our mind, is that there has to be a sense of urgency in your business. You can't put it off for tomorrow. You can't wait until things are perfect or things are right. The next thing is being an entrepreneur, is we knew how to invest in our business. You know, in any business I ever had, it costs, you know, anywhere. And when I first got started, it was hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars a month. And then when I got into the fine dining restaurant, it was tens of thousands of dollars a month. I mean, to write a check for $10,000 in a month was not a big deal. And I got used to that. So when I joined AMBIT and it was $429 to start, and your only investment was at $24.95 a month, I said, where can I invest more money into my business? So immediately we started looking for things that we could put into our business that would have the biggest payoffs. And, you know, the first one for me, besides simulcast, was to go to a power trip. And we had to put money on a credit card. We had to go out on a limb and spend money at a time where we were actually dumping money into our tiramisu business, so money was tight. But I knew that if I could invest money into that, that I could have a seed that could start to produce something. And out of that, you know, it was just, then we went to Ambition. And then we, you know, so we realized that, you know, in order to make money, you have to spend money. And that background of being used to planting your seed has really come in handy with AMBIT. You know, I never look for a paycheck with AMBIT. I mean, it'd be great to have a paycheck every week, but what we look for is that, you know, where can I put the money that I make that's going to grow for the next year's harvest? So that's something we kind of brought from our past that helped us with our AMBIT business.
You know, let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, when this episode airs, it's likely that it'll be right after Ambition, which are four pillar events, as Marianne Waito will say from time to time. Of course, we've got Ambition, which is the national convention. And I heard Coach Alan Johnson talk about it the other day, how he said it's the national board meeting for our company, and where we bring all of our top people together, and that's here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then we've also got simulcast, which is where we simulcast out, I believe it's at the end of January or February, depending on how the dates fall. and there's different areas of the country where it is simulcasted out of. And then we've got the Power Trips, which is where you and I met, we met the first time a few months back, and those kind of are in between the big events. And so with that being said, when you're talking about investing in your business, part of it is financial. There's obviously, you know, whether it's, you know, paying for this or paying for that, you know, traveling to some of these events. But there's also the investment of your time. So, for instance, listening to this show, I mean, you have to invest about an hour of your time to listen to these things on a weekly basis to get fed. But if you are trying to transition from being an employee to being a business owner, it requires investments. And, you know, that's something I think that you brought up, that if you are an employee, you're not necessarily familiar with that kind of stuff. And that's good to bring that up, because when you join Ambit, you have now become a small business owner. Now, how small is up to you, because as we well know, I heard just the other day that Brian McClure, our top income earner, just went over $30 million in income. And at the time of this recording, it's basically in about midway through 2016. But $30 million. So he's not a small business owner. He is a huge business owner as far as I'm concerned. And but you really are a business owner, and you've got to make those investments. And I think that's something to really consider, and I'm sure it's helped you grow your business significantly. Now let's talk, when it comes to you're talking to these prospective consultants. You've talked to them about some of the things that you do. You sit down. Do you use a certain set of tools? What does your presentation look like? We've talked about the invitation, but what does the presentation look like? Do you use the corporate videos or use Gold Rush? What is it that you guys use?
So, you know, we've bounced back and forth with that over the years, and right now I love the new corporate video. I think it sums everything up, and we really have a leg up to have those tools. So basically for us, it's we let the video do the presentation. I don't use a PowerPoint unless I'm at a meeting. You know, the best thing to do is say, hey, are you at a computer? You know, a lot of times we do it right over the phone or in person, but if you're at a computer, you know, go to this site and click on, you know, Energy 526, watch the video, and then from there we just jump straight into the money, and then we transition into that third party call, and that's really the, you know, the way that we were taught by Kim and Jim Mason, and you know, they're really good at what they do, and we said, man, if they can do it, then all we have to do is repeat what they've done. And we just keep it simple. I mean, there's a lot of great videos out there. I always tell people, find out what works best for you and run with it. But for us, it's just those two videos.
Cool. Yeah, those are great, you know, great videos. Now, when you're going through the process and maybe somebody throws out an objection to you, is there a common objection that you tend to see? And if so, what is it? And then how do you transition through that or overcome it?
You know what's funny about that is that it's always the same. You know kind of what people have done for research whenever they come up with their objection. Okay, there's like the canned objection. I'm too busy. And I say, look, you know, this is a busy man's business. I was too busy when I joined. The guy who sponsored me was way too busy. Everybody along the line was not too busy. You know, you just got to find somebody who's not real busy, or you let me do 90% of the work and get you kind of running, and then you'll find little bits and pieces of time. Christine and I really did this one day a week when we started. You know, Monday night was a day that we dedicated to Ambit. We did a few lunches during the week, but we dedicated our one day a week, and we carved out time. The more money we made, the more time we started to carve out. But that's really one of those objections that you always get. And then, you know, you'll get the other objection where it's like, well, you know, I'm just not so sure about the company, or I think it's a pyramid deal. And what I love about that answer is I asked Brian McClure that one time. I said, Brian, what do you say whenever people say, is it a pyramid deal? And he goes, well, Mark, he goes, you can tell them that they can call it anything they want to call it. But if you're concerned about the legality of it, let's just do the let's look at it. And it's licensed by the Public Utility Commission, and it's, you know, A+ rated by the Better Business Bureau. We're number one in customer satisfaction from J.D. Powers, and so it's really not a pyramid deal. And the fact is, you could join my business and you could pass me up. And then the not, you know, then the other thing is, well, I Googled Ambit and I saw a lot of negativity and there was this and there was that. And I always say, you know what, look at the meeting, especially if we're at a live meeting. I said, you see the people who stood up, you got guys who own their own businesses and you got insurance agents and doctors and attorneys. Every one of those people know how to use Google and they're still here. The thing is, they learn how to dig a little deeper. And all you did was a surface search. And if you're looking for negativity, then put it in there and you're going to find it. But if you want to take this thing seriously, then do some real research and get back to me. I usually don't let people off the hook that easy whenever they say, well, I Googled it. I tell them, you know what, that's not a good enough answer. You need to do better research and then get back to me. Kind of like, don't waste my time. This is a real business and you need to treat it like a real business. So I think those things are the typical objection that people come up with, and as soon as they hit, you know, in the beginning, obviously, we didn't know how to handle them at all. We got mad at them. We told them, you know, what are you talking about? Are you saying that you can't trust us? And we ruined a lot of good relationships over it. But now it's just a matter of putting things into perspective. I talked to a consultant the other day, and I said, no matter what the objection, there's a reason they should join. If they say, well, I don't have any money, then you need to join. I don't have any time, great, then you need to join. I have too much time on my hands, great, then you need to join. I have too much money, great, then you need to join. There's a reason for it. You know, there's no reason why anybody in the world shouldn't be involved in Ambit Energy. I don't live in a state that's deregulated, great, then you need to join. You can be the first one in that market. You know, you have to be the optimist in this business.
That is really great. I love that kind of analogy there. No matter what their objection is, there's a reason why they need to join the business, and that really does make perfect sense. Now, the reality is, as you mentioned, there are people that because you were not prepared at the time, that some of those relationships were damaged. And guys, you know, I've had people over and over again that say, "Oh, I'm not going to go to the business presentation. I've already seen it before." And just, you know, it's being around folks and hearing a different perspective. I am sure that Mark, you know, typically, you know, does the business presentation about the same way that we do it here in Texas. But there may be one nugget of information that you pick up by listening to his presentation. Or there may be a guest speaker at the BP that you didn't know was going to be there. Or somebody says something a little bit differently. And so it's very important because, I mean, I learned something. That's why I'm doing this show, is because I learn something every single day. And no matter what the objection is, I'm pretty good at overcoming them in general. But that right there was golden, that, hey, you know, if they're too busy, no problem. That's why you need to join the business. Maybe this will help you buy some of your time back. If you don't have enough money to get in the business, well, that's a great reason why to get in the business, so you can have some more money. But you've got to find a transitional statement as opposed to just telling them, well, you should just do it. You know, you got to figure out a way to effectively go through that. Now, when it comes to customer acquisition, let's talk about that a little bit. Someone that, for whatever reason, you've done all your magic, you've worked everything you can to overcome every objection possible, and they're just like, look, I ain't doing it. This ain't my kind of deal. And you say, well, hey, would you at least consider being my customer, or being the customer of the person that, you know, showed you the business? And they say, well, you know, they start hem-hawing around. What's the number one objection you run into there?
A lot of times they'll say, well, you know, your rate's not the best rate, or... and then it's just right back into it again. You know, well, you don't have the best rate. Nobody can beat free. You know, I don't know where you got your information, but it's not good information. You know, we have some of the best rates in the area. We guarantee our savings. You know, it is difficult. The girl who cuts my hair wouldn't be my customer. And I was going to her for 6 years, and I didn't even want to ask her because I loved her haircuts. And I was like, man, if I ask her and she says no, I got to switch. And then I got Christina hooked on her, and sure enough, she asked her to be our customer. First she said yes, and then she said, oh, I need to talk to my boyfriend, and the boyfriend shot it down. And so after I went two times, and it was like really uncomfortable to even sit in the chair. And on the third time, I asked her, I said, so do you live with your boyfriend, or do you live on your own? She's like, no, I own my own home. And I said, so you can make your own decision. You know, you can be my customer. And she's like, yeah, but I don't know why you're making such a big deal about it. And I said, because that's how I make a living, the same as you make a living cutting my hair. I make a living by saving you money. And I said, when you don't become my customer, it means you don't trust me. And I said, I got to move on. And I had to go find a new hairdresser. And we went to one guy, and he ended up becoming our customer for his business and then his home. And then he moved to another shop and the new girl who took over just became our customer there. And then I went to another hair guy to cut my hair, and we're working on getting his bills. So it was actually a win. But you know, it is difficult. I showed the plan the other night to a guy and he says, no, I don't want to do it. He goes, maybe if you bring solar to Pennsylvania, well, I'll do solar. And I asked him, I said, what do you have to lose by doing it? What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. I said, I have 31 personal customers. And I said, I take care of my customers. I said, I'll give you a phone number of any one of them. You can call them and ask them, that I take really good care of them. You have nothing to lose. And the ball's in your court. And just kind of leave it there. But if I'm doing business with a person and I'm spending money and they don't want to be my customer, usually we have to move on to somebody else.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. And I heard Mike Obey the other day talking, and he said that he strategically gets his haircut when he's out of town. He goes and visits a new place and just basically says, hey, I'm from out of town. You know, what do you, and they ask him, hey, what are you doing here? Well, hey, I'm here on my business or whatever. And he, that's his intro to getting in front of new people. And that sounds creative and cool and everything, but I want to go back and reiterate again what you just said. It is uncomfortable because you liked who was your hairdresser, and you were going to have to change if they didn't do business with you. And if you had not asked them, then you wouldn't have had those other customers, those other consultants, those other opportunities. But you had to do something uncomfortable and get outside of your own little comfort area and do something different. And guys, that's what this business is all about. If you want to keep getting the same type of results you've been getting, then keep doing what you've been doing. Keep getting your hair cut at the same place. Keep, you know, just keep your mouth shut and don't ask anybody about anything, and then you'll keep getting what you've been getting. But if you get outside the box, you do something different, there's a good opportunity that there'll be some other things that get dropped on you, and it could be significant because you never know who's the next superstar coming into the business. So that really is great. And I'm the kind of guy that likes to go to the same hair place as well. And that gives me I got a guy haircut, so I mean, I can go get 10, 15 bucks, you know, super cuts or whatever. And, you know, and all those folks that work there, they're not making $100,000 a year, I promise you. So they could all use to make a little extra money. So that's some marching orders for me, Doug Parker, right about now to put on my list of things to do, get my hair cut somewhere I haven't gotten a cut before. So take that and apply that, guys. So let's talk about mentoring. You know, I know you mentioned Steve Thompson a little bit. You mentioned a couple of other folks, Brian McClure. So when it comes to mentoring, who's made a significant impact on your life and kind of in what way have they done that? And it doesn't have to be Ambit. It could be anyone. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, since you mentioned not outside Ambit, I believe Mark's parents, Bill and Betsy West, have a tremendous amount of mentoring in our lives for business and spiritual and family. But they have, we've watched them, as Mark mentioned earlier, achieve dreams in network marketing that people just wowed about, and instill that in Mark. So that would have somebody outside of Ambit. Actually, they're actually in Ambit as senior consultants with us. But Kim and Jim Mason, when we were falling on our face for the first 2 months and doing the business our way and not the system, we went to them and they coached us and worked with us and were alongside of us. And still to this day, I love it. Even as I was pregnant, Gianni, my son, has such a close relationship with Kim and Jim, and learn, you know, is really dear friends and family to us. Steve Thompson, we get spend a lot of time through the Ohio area when we're marketing out there when they opened Ohio at the end of October. And he was out there spending the time with us before and after meetings and really mentoring us. And so we're so grateful for him and Chris Atkinson and Brian McClure, and getting to know Ray Monty in Boston in the Massachusetts area. So these great leaders, Mary and Richard Wado, oh my gosh, love them to death. We were at a power trip, our plane did not take off on a Sunday. And I said, hey, what time's service at your church? And she invited us over. And instead of getting a hotel room, they invited us to stay. And that was wonderful, close mentoring time with them, because we look up to them and admire what they've done with their family and what they do with Ambit. So we're so grateful for them.
Yeah, and Doug, for me, you know, as kind of growing up in network marketing, I've been around some great leaders. One of the very first books I ever read was a book called Iacocca by Lee Iacocca. And just the way he thought, was just an innovator. And, you know, you can learn a lot from a book. The person doesn't have to be alive. They can mentor you through their work. Another good mentor that we had was a guy named Zig Ziglar. And we actually were founding consultants in the Zig Ziglar Network when he started that, and had an opportunity to go to Atlanta and meet him. And, you know, his company didn't do so well, but man, that guy, he could motivate you like crazy. But we, you know, we read all of his books and his materials. And so, you know, a lot of our mentors are people who have already passed. But, you know, I have another great friend of mine who passed away about a year ago. And his name was Reno. This guy was, 68 years old when I met him, and he passed in his 80s. And he was a guy, you know, grew up in Italy during the war and was in a concentration camp. And he taught me so much about life and just, you know, being a man and the things he had to overcome. And, you know, so there's so many great people who poured into my life. My whole philosophy is I want to surround myself by people who are older, wiser, and richer than I am. And because they're the people I want to be like. And, you know, so that's what I've done since I was a little kid. All my friends, even in the cooking business, I mean, I've worked with some of the greatest chefs in the world. And I would find out, you know, that they were going to be at a thing in Washington, D.C. for a big celebration. And we'd buy the $1,000 ticket and go to D.C. and have the dinner. And I would get up next to that chef and I'd say, hey, chef, I want to come work in your kitchen. And they say, sure, you know, come out, spend a month in California or Chicago. And I worked with some really great people that way. So we're really aggressive when it comes to getting around leaders. I think that's the key to our success in any business we've ever done, is get around the leaders and learn what they're doing.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, getting around the leaders, because you dropped a couple names there with Jim and Kim Mason and Brian McClure and Ray Monty and Steve Thompson. And you throw those names out, you know, like, hey, I just, because it's just somebody I've reached out to, right? Well, for those of you that are listening to this show, and maybe you don't know exactly who they are, those guys are the absolute superstars, multi-million dollar income earners of our business. And it's very interesting how you mentioned, hey, you find a way to get around them and you ask. And a lot of times, successful people, they love to just tell you about what they've done to be successful. I mean, everybody kind of likes to talk about themselves, or most people do in general. And if you will serve them and find a way to get involved with what they've got going on, you would be amazed at how approachable they are. And you mentioned you'd be at a seminar somewhere and you'd go to a chef and say, hey, I'd like to come work at your place for you. You know, it's not necessarily that you're going to work there and they're paying you. You're going to work there to volunteer, to just get around them, just so you can see what it is that they do to make it happen. And guys, that's really what we're trying to do with these interviews, is to get around people that maybe you can't necessarily get around because you're on, you know, around the world or around the country or wherever. But when you are at these events, get around these leaders, figure out how you can serve them, how you can help them, anything you can do for them. Maybe when you're traveling, make sure that you carve out a little extra time, and maybe you can go spend, you know, buy them a lunch or a dinner. Not that they need your money, but just as a courtesy. And that makes a huge difference, and I'm sure that's what just accelerated your explosion of your business, is you got around people that knew what they were doing in this business, and it helped you to not have to, you know, learn it on your own, or learn from your failures, kind of a situation.
Yeah, well, you know, when we started, things weren't that great. It took us 2 months to get a consultant, and we literally got to the point of turning off our website. I mean, I called corporate and I asked them. I said, you know, I haven't made any money in this business, and I just want to move on with my life. And, you know, can you shut off my website? And they actually said, well, you just paid for it yesterday, so you have a whole month. Why don't you give it a try? And so it wasn't always, you know, the right thing. You know, I mean, the thing is, we didn't really know. We didn't believe it. And enough, you know, it was so new to our area. Kim and Jim were coming in from New York. There was no leadership in the Pittsburgh area, really. Everybody was just kind of new and trying to figure things out. And so us getting around those people, anytime they were in town, we wanted to be next to them. And hey, you going to dinner afterward? We want to tag along. If you're going to, you know, if you're speaking somewhere, we'll drive the extra. I remember driving from Pittsburgh to Buffalo, which is about a 5-hour drive, to meet Chris and Jerry. And we were just brand new in the business. But we knew that if we could see people in the business that were successful, that it would raise our belief level And it would give us the kind of fuel to get through the early stages of the business, because it can be very difficult when you're first getting started out, especially if you don't have success out of the gate. Didn't trigger any bonuses, and I was just spending money to be in business, and my other business was blowing up at the time, so things were going good, and it would have been so easy to walk away from it. But when you got around somebody who's actually done it, and I said, man, there's no difference between them and us. There's got to be something wrong with what I'm doing for this thing not to be working. And we had to go back to the drawing board and kind of figure that out. So, yeah, getting around the mentors has been huge in our business. And the fact is, I also did Yellow Jacket mentoring with Brian. And that was another key in us becoming executive. I mean, it was one of those things where, and it wasn't even about so much the training. It was just the people we met that I met while I was there that gave me the encouragement that, hey, you can get it done. And if it is to be, it's up to me, you know. And we were at a point, a while back you talked about customer gathering. And when we were going EC, they made it so that, you know, somebody could join, it was free, but they had to get 5 customers in order to qualify. And I'd have people get 1 customer, 2 customers, or 3. They'd make some money and then they'd kind of fade off into the sunset. And we said, there's no way we're going to let somebody not qualify for us to promote. And we actually got about 180 or 160 some customers on our own. And it was just, you know, calling everybody that we knew and saying, hey, do you know that you're eligible for a discount on your energy bill? And they say, well, I don't know, am I? And I say, well, I don't know either. Get your bill out and let's figure this thing out. And then once we got a customer, it was like, who do you know that can help us? And so we had to go through that, because if it is to be, it was up to us to actually go out and get it done. And you have to really take your business into your own hands. I always tell people is the hardest part about Ambit is you have to rely on other people. That's what I thought in the beginning. I said, man, I have to rely on other people to make me a success. Because if it was products, I can go out and sell a product all day long. But then what I realized later on when the transition happened for me was it really is up to me. It's up to me not just to recruit somebody, but it's up to me to help them get paid. And it's up to me to kind of mentor them and coach them and guide them. And then also to be able to let go of them. You know, I think another mistake people make is they hang on to people and if they become anchors. And, you know, Brian talks about all these kind of like leeches sucking off your body, and you can't do that. So there's another fine line of being able to work with somebody until you're dragging a dead person through the business, and you just can't do that. You know, and that was tough for us in the beginning, was trying to figure out when to cut people loose and just keep running for our own goal.
Gotcha. Now, you talked about, you know, one of the real tough times, you know, you were paying this monthly, you know, fee, you hadn't gotten anything in return, you hadn't signed anybody up, and I think you said it was like 2 months before you even got your first consultant. But when would you say was the tipping point for your career? When was it that, I mean, obviously sometime between the day you were going to cut off your website and it happened to renew the day before, and now there was a tipping point where you're like, you know what, I think this is the real deal. Do you remember, was there a specific event that occurred that made you think, you know what, I am in and here we go?
Yeah, it was that day that I called to shut off our website, because you know, that challenge that whoever it was at customer support, you know, said, well, why don't you give it a try? And it was almost like a challenge to me to say, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean give it a try? I've been doing it for 2 months and nobody wants to do it. And then she says, well, have you, you know, at the time when everybody got the kit, you know, she said, did you ever open up your kit? And I said, no. Well, start there. And have you ever been on Ambit U? And I said, no. And she said, well, why don't you check out Ambit University and just give it a try? And so I did. And that day we laid everything out. And I studied the compensation plan. I watched all the videos, like the invitation and all this stuff, and realized, man, I don't know. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I thought I knew it all, but I really didn't. And so we had to eat a little humble pie. And that night we were at a church Christmas party. And this guy asked me, he said, Mark, what's new? And I said, man, I am so excited. I said, you know, I just found this new, you know, this new business, and he's like, what is it? And so I always have to tell people I had to lie at church, because I was not that excited about my business. But when he asked me, I was like, man, I'm so excited about this thing. And he's like, what is it? And I said, look, Paul, I said, I can't tell you. I said, but why don't we get together and have lunch and I'll show you. And so I was following the script, you know, and he said, sure. And what the tipping point for me was is whenever I went to actually, he came to lunch. He said, I have to pray about it. That I went to his house that the next night. And he told me, he says, Mark, he goes, I've been praying for 4 years for a business for my wife and I. He goes, I'm a painter. She's a nurse. He goes, we need to make extra income. And he goes, I've been praying for this. And he goes, the fact is, I bought Success From Home magazine every month. And he goes, I can't believe I've never seen this. And he joined. And literally 6 days after the day he joined, we promoted a regional consultant. That was really my tipping point. But Christina may have a different one.
No, I think it's the same. But I think then for me, when we started seeing consultants come into the business and we were able to teach and help them to change their families' lives, to be able to change income streams, to be able to help them achieve their goals and dreams and watch them be built up in the business. It wasn't about us anymore. It was about helping people. And, you know, when we help enough people achieve what they want in their lives, we will be blessed. And I think that our whole career when we got married was a lot of food, and you love to cook for people. You love to bless them in that way. But nothing has ever been changed for my life as it has, besides knowing the Lord and teaching people a way to change their life financially. Because I know in a marriage, we just celebrated 17 years, that money is always an issue if you don't have enough of it. And we were able to help and teach people through Ambit a way to make an extra stream of income and achieve their goals and dreams. And that was to me where things changed for me.
That is great. That is great stuff. So now there's a couple of other things here, guys, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up the show. I know you mentioned a book, Iacocca by Lee Iacocca, and he was the guy that went in, I think, and turned around Chrysler. Is that correct?
Yep, that's okay. Right. He also invented the Mustang, so he kind of helped Ford and Chrysler.
Whoa, I didn't know that. I guess you learn something new every day. That's really cool. So are there any other books that you guys, you know, that are kind of favorite books that you think every entrepreneur should read, or maybe a new marketing consultant coming in, stuff like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of books. You know, there's the old standbys like Think and Grow Rich, and, you know, I like the Dale Carnegie books. You know, we're sitting in our office and there's probably a million books on the shelf. So, I mean, where do you really start? But, you know, there's some real simple books. Even Steve Thompson's
his Adam
book.
Adam Carey.
Yeah, and Adam Michelle Carey's book. Those are two books that we kind of go to. And Adam Michelle have that Don't Be That Guy network marketing book that they did. And I love it because it's, you know, it's stuff that we all kind of know, and we're all guilty of doing it. And they put it into such a like a fun way of you know, showing you, hey, look, you're that guy in network marketing, don't do it. So I love that. And what I love about Steve's book is that he really lays out what it takes to be a networker and to work a business like this, all the way out to how to kind of manage your money and plan for the future and your taxes. And you know, that book is just, to me, it was a real a great book. And they're both, you know, Ambit books. You know, the guys at Ambit actually wrote those books, so that was kind of a bonus.
You mean you have to pay your taxes in this business?
Yeah, I guess.
No, I'm just messing with you. So, yeah, that is something, though, guys. If you are an employee, just while we're on that subject, we do want practical advice. So if you are used to being an employee and you get these checks for $100 and $155 and $235 and it's triple and then it's $465 or whatever the numbers are, if you are not careful, you can spend all that money for sure. And if you are really successful and you look up and you make $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $50,000 in a year and you haven't paid your taxes, if you're new in this business, or even if you're not new in the business, make sure you get with someone that knows what they're doing with your taxes. Because guys, that's the worst thing you can have happen, is everything's going well, you think everything's great, you're spending all the money, and then all of a sudden you look up and you get a tax bill and it's more than you can swallow. That can be really frustrating. And the two things in this world that they say are constant no matter what are death and taxes. Everybody's dying and everybody's going to pay their taxes. And so you don't want to get into that kind of a thing. I don't want to end on a negative note, but I want to make sure that you definitely pay your taxes, guys, because that's very, very important. Now, can we go through really quick what an average day looks like for you guys? You know, what time do you get up? Do you have a rhythm of what time you go to bed? What type of sleep it takes for you guys to operate, or is it just kind of catch as catch can?
Well, we have a 3-year-old, so that kind of dictates our day. But thank God he's on our schedule, so You know, it just depends on really every day's different, you know, and it, life is good. You know, it's we just started meeting with a personal trainer. So, you know, there's days a week where we have to get up to go meet with him. I've been able to do some golfing, and that's really the only day I get up early is to go out golfing. Because most of the time in direct selling in a business like this, your business doesn't really start running until after people get off work. So what we've learned how to do is kind of balance our day. You know, we take the daytime for ourselves. If you have to go shopping or if you have to do things, there's no better time than to do it at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon because everybody else is at work. And then it's funny because Sunday night I was out showing the plan to a guy because that's the time he could go. And my nephew goes, it's kind of funny, is that, you know, you're able to go golfing on a Wednesday afternoon, but now you're going to work at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. And I said, that's just the way our business is, you know. So we really just kind of roll with our day. You know, there's every, you know, we kind of plan our schedule out and week to week, and we say, where do we need to be? And, you know, like this week we're leaving for Ohio. We're going to do some business out there for 2 or 3 days. And, you know, we have some things between now and then that we have to do around here. But for us right now, we're at a point in our business where it's how do you meet people? So we love to go to kids' birthday parties with our son, or, you know, like we started doing the trainer or going out on the golf course or getting into different things, you know, going to the pool or whatever. It's a great place to meet new people. I love doing business on the beach.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And, you know, Steve Thompson told me the same thing a while back about your schedule. You know, the reality is that you have to be available for people when they're available. And most of the people that are getting into the business for sure, they've got a 9-to-5. So they are not available on a Tuesday at 10:30 or 11:30 in the morning or whatever the case is. So you got to make sure that your schedule can work, you know, with theirs, and it's a nights and weekends kind of business. It really is. So that's when others are available. So it's great that you brought that up. Now, the last couple of questions I've got is, when it comes to advice, is there one piece of advice that if you could go back and tell yourself something at any point during your life, other than I wish I would have started Ambit Energy sooner, okay? Other than that, is there anything that you would have liked to have given yourself a piece of advice, and what would it have been, and at what point in your life, what were you doing then?
I think that when Mark and I had tried to have children for so many years, and our faith was keeping us strong and going through, you know, losing the restaurant and different businesses a couple times, you know, we just kept praying for God's wisdom and direction. And I think that when I understood that faith, and it's in Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, but not yet seen. And I see that with happening with our son. I see that happening with the business, and just believing that, you know, it will happen, and having your eye on the prize, that to me is really the advice. That the other thing is, when we started Ambit, I know we had a full-time business, but I wish we would have worked more than one day a week. I wish we would have came out of the gate really strong and pushed harder in the beginning, because of course everything compounds over time. And I love it when we got our stride, as you would say, and we're making a break for it. You know, we just kept running and running hard. And a lot of times I see that in consultants, and I would love to coach them, just, you know, press in, do a few more phone calls. And Mark and I have spent a lot of time for people who want it. We're available for them to help encourage them. Just make a few more phone calls and push them a little harder, because the results are so incredible if they can do it.
Yeah, and I'd say for me, if I could go back and tell my young self, you know, something, it's things that I've learned through Ambit, is God first, family second, and Ambit third, or in those cases, is everything else should have been third. And there was a lot of times in our business, in fact, is we probably lost our business, because our restaurant business, because we didn't follow that pattern. God was always first, but then we put employees in the restaurant ahead of ourselves. And I think if we would have really kept that structure of God first, then family, and then everything else, I think we would have had a lot more success, and we would have made decisions different. You know, I always thought about, well, how's it going to affect my employees if I do this, or how's it going to affect everyone else, or the end user, if I change this or do that? Where I should have said was, how's it going to affect me and my family? How's it going to reflect our relationship with each other, or our relationship with God? And then let the business kind of fall where it's going to fall. And the other thing too is just believing. You know, I think that I was talking on a call the other night, and I said that you're a believer one way or the other. You're either going to believe that you're going to be a success, or you're going to believe that you're a failure. And we really got to take on that approach of believing in Ambit and believing in Chris and Jerry and believing in the process. It's like Marcus Lemonis, the prophet, always says, you know, people, product, and process. And a lot of times we just don't trust the process. We join a business, we want it to go faster. We want speed to be, you know, first, and I want to get to the top and I want to make all this money. But we have to trust the process. And sometimes it's like, man, this takes forever. The last consultant that I signed, I've been talking to this guy for 4 months. You know, I've had people we talked to for 3 years that finally joined our business. We've gone stretches of 6 months where nobody joined us personally. It's a process, and we have to be able to trust the process.
You know, that is really powerful, powerful stuff. And guys, I know over the years I've done the same thing. I've had stuff out of order, and you really have to have your life in order. And there's times where, you know, you talk about God first, family second, everything else after that. And there's seasons of being able to maneuver stuff around a little bit. And, you know, we talk about it being a nights and weekend kind of business. It might be that you have to have a certain night that is just off limits, you know, until you can get to a point where you have where you can do this full time or whatever the case is, because it can be all consuming. There is always something else to do. And so with that being said, guys, I am so appreciative of the time that you've invested in Ambit Nation and Doug Parker, that you've I've learned so much just listening to this, or just, you know, participating in it one time, but I can't wait to listen to it again and hear all the nuggets of wisdom that you guys dropped on us. So thank you so much for participating in the Ambitious Radio.
Thank you, Doug. The last one thing I do want to mention is that, you know, a lot of people say that we're the tiramisu guys, but we actually liquidated our tiramisu business in September, and we do Ambit full time, and we just thank God for that opportunity. We also thank you for the opportunity to even, you know, to be on this call.
Thank you for thinking of us to be on this call, and we hope that this call and all the efforts that you put into it will bless so many people and encourage them to press on and keep moving forward.
Well, thank you guys so much for that. And with that being said, guys, you can make excuses or you can make money, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.